This is John Myers. I'm talking to Hugo Kiesing, author of Next Stop Vietnam, The War on Record, and Doug Bradley, author of We Gotta Get Out of This Place, Music, Survival, Healing, and the Soundtrack of the Vietnam War. Doug Bradley is also the author of a Huffington Post blog focusing on veterans' issues in 1960s music, and he also wrote a short story collection called DeRose Vietnam, Dispatches from the Air-Conditioned Jungle. Doug, could you give us a little of your background?
Thanks, John. Yes, it's a pleasure to be on your radio station. I grew up in the 50s in Philadelphia, and my brother sang in doo-wop groups on the street corners of Philly. American Bandstand was there. It was sort of the teenage mecca. So I got infused with the music of my era, thanks to my brother and his cohorts. And then as I went into high school and college, I was social chairman of my college. It's sort of in my DNA. Music, especially the music of the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s. I graduated from college in 1969 and lost my student deferment because I had graduated. Only doctors and dentists were deferred at that point. Even though I was going to law school that fall, I was drafted. So instead of being at Boston University in September, I ended up in basic training the following March and in Vietnam a year from that in November. So I served in the U.S. Army as an information specialist, a journalist in Vietnam at Army Command Headquarters at Long Binh from November 1970 to November 1971. Again, music helped to keep me alive, kept me and my fellow soldiers connected not only to one another, but to our lives back home. In some cases, it helped us to heal. So I got back to the States, ended up following a woman to Madison, Wisconsin, who I fell in love with. Helped set up a Vietnam Veterans Service Organization here called Vets House. It was a grassroots organization that we basically started on our own because nobody was helping Vietnam vets. And I've been at this now almost since that time, writing, community work, volunteering, advocating, what have you. There's a wonderful professor at the University of Wisconsin, a guy named Craig Werner, who teaches wonderful music courses here. He's written a wonderful book called A Change is Going to Come. Craig taught both of my children at the University of Wisconsin in a class, and he had a segment of the course that was dedicated to music of the Vietnam era. Well, my kids told me about this. I ended up meeting Craig, and the first thing we started to do was he asked for my feedback on his set list from Vietnam, and we started talking. And lo and behold, we've collaborated for the last 10 years on the book that you mentioned, and we've done hundreds of interviews and scores of presentations around the country to Vietnam vets and other audiences, and basically have come up with this story, and that is that music-based memories of Vietnam vets is an incredible way to know the story of Vietnam, to know more about what our men and women there experienced, and also to understand the power of the music of that generation.
Doug wrote a short story collection called DeRose Vietnam. Can you tell us what DeRose means?
DeRose stands for Date Estimated Return from Overseas. The Army loves acronyms. Shortened to DEROS, it was the most sacred and sacrosanct thing a soldier had because that was when he knew he was coming home. Marines usually had 13-month tours. The majority of us were there. The larger number were Army. And we had a 365-day tour unless one would extend, and it was kind of not smart to do that. And so everybody, when they got there, as I did on November 11th, I passed the international dateline, so I was November 12th. I knew in 365 days of November 11th of 1971, I was going to be out of Vietnam. And so everybody knew and held near and dear their DeRose date.
Dr. Hugo Kiesing has a 13-CD, 300-plus-page box set called Next Stop Vietnam, The War on Record, 1961 to 2008, that came out in 2010. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
So why don't you give us a bit of background on your history?
It's interesting how Doug and I ended up in the same place, but by very different routes. I was born in the Netherlands during World War II, came to the U.S. as a seven-year-old, and initially became Americanized by collecting comic books, bubblegum cards, the sorts of things that young boys share with each other. At about age 12, I discovered girls and discovered that they didn't care for the same sorts of things, but were really into music. So I changed my collecting to records. I never learned to play music, but I began collecting records and learning about them, who sang them, what label they were on, etc. So music was always a medium of exchange to help me learn about the opposite sex initially, because by knowing that their favorite artist was Fats Domino or Pat Boone, I inferred a little bit more about them. Music was always a hobby, and I was looking for ways to turn it into more than a hobby. I was in graduate school in 1970, working on a doctorate in behavior research, when the Vietnam War really came to campus. I can recall the shootings at Kent State. I was a graduate teaching assistant at Delphi University in New York, and I took my classes outside to discuss what was going on in the world, and found that there were some songs that I could use to sort of get the conversation going. 6 months after this, I was in Vietnam. I signed up to teach overseas with the University of Maryland's overseas program. One of the conditions of employment was that I would be teaching a term in Vietnam, and in November of 1970, I arrived. It was a very unusual experience, and I created sort of a parallel universe, which may be understood by people who are into comic books. I decided I wasn't really in Vietnam. I was on a movie set somewhere in California. The helicopters flying in and out, the F-4s flying in and out, the noises, etc., were simply a movie set, and I was in no danger. That all held true until a Sunday morning when a couple of incoming rockets came very close to my hooch where I was living, and I realized that incoming rockets did not distinguish between civilians and military, that therefore I was in fact in a dangerous place. While in Vietnam, my connection to the world, as it was called, as for most soldiers, was American Forces Radio. I could listen to the music of the U.S. and feel connected to what was happening back home. And so it was shortly after I got back from Vietnam, I changed my dissertation topic from a very esoteric one. I wrote back to a professor at Delphi and asked if he would consider a dissertation that would look at the impact of popular music on youth culture. Was there a relationship between changes in youth culture and the music of the times? There were all sorts of allegations being made back in those days. This would be 1970. The vice president of the U.S. was saying that songs were leading young people into drug use, songs were causing anti-American feelings, and I was concerned because there wasn't a whit of evidence that was being presented that music in any way had that sort of impact on behavior. He said yes, and by 1972, I was finishing one of the earliest doctoral dissertations on the relationship between popular music and youth culture, a study of 2 decades of popular music. It looked at the most popular songs for a 20-year period beginning in the early 50s and ending in 1971. What this forced me to do was to look very carefully at the lyrics and try to understand what the messages were in pop music. And it made very clear that beginning in the mid-60s or so, topical material, not just songs about love, which was clearly the most popular theme for the entire time, but topical songs that were writing about women's issues, that were writing lyrics that seemed to have something to do with the war, songs like The Eve of Destruction by Barry McGuire, jumped to the forefront, and it struck me that there was something to be learned from listening to those songs. It wasn't just, it's got a good beat and I can dance to it, but one could actually use music to teach. And since teaching had always been what I wanted to do, it didn't take me long to start introducing some popular songs into the context of my psychology courses. And once that began, I needed to continue collecting. I was constantly on the lookout for more materials that could help me teach. And initially, the emphasis was on psychology courses, but that morphed into a history course. And eventually, when I came back to College Park in the U.S., I developed a course first for a general honors program and then later for the American Studies Department called Popular Music in American Society, where I used music and other aspects of popular culture, magazines, comic books, buttons, lunchboxes, you name it, all the stuff I'd collected for all of those years, to teach a class on the U.S. since 1940. Teaching this course allowed me to continue purchasing, listening, and finding new ways to have music tell a story. And this is where Doug and I, where our music is sort of two sides of the same coin. Doug has been interested in music that was listened to by the military during the Vietnam era. I became interested in the music that was about those soldiers and about those young men at home who either chose to burn their draft cards or protest or whatever. And much later, I became extremely interested in music by those same individuals, music that was written by and performed by the military while they were in country, and then the same types of songs by vets when they came home and began putting their experiences into song. So with his interest and my interest, we were covering